similar to what we did last Sunday. We wanted to give a kind of a shorter homily and then have the opportunity to pray with you, for you to pray with and for one another. And this just seems to continue to be where the Lord seems to be leading, and trusting that that's very important and very vital. So I just, again, invite you to enter into that, whether you are the one receiving prayer, whether you're the one giving prayer, or whether you are doing both today. So I have a lot of stuff up here, and I wanted to mention something about Africa, and I will say hopefully more about that in some of the weeks to come. But one of the things I wanted to say about Africa, about that last trip that that we were on, and Father Mike was there, and he's been there several times, was a, and she had no idea I was going to do this, but I got an email from Bishop Sekelwa, who's the bishop at Tanzania, and he wrote a word, or an email, and it was very encouraging. But he had something to say, and I want to read this, and then I want to tell you why I'm reading it. So this has to do in particular with Stacy, and she already looked at me and rolled her eyes. So but the nice thing is I'm far enough away from her now, you know. And I figure if I have enough boundary between here and there. But this is what he wrote. He says, as on Stacy, not trying to exaggerate, but the mystery left behind of which I have no answer whenever I am asked is, why so many people were so much glued and attached to Stacy? It is like everybody wanted to be prayed for by her. In my simple conclusion, God has placed something very special in her life, but that gift is not for herself, but it is there for God's people of Africa and other parts of the world. It is better to encourage Stacy to keep using that treasury as much as she can. If there is one person in a team my wife Martha talks much about her, is Stacy. I cannot explain it. For some reason, God connected their hearts. Martha talks of how much she learnt from Stacy in a very short period of time they have been together. Her humility, loving care to God's people, her passion to pray for people needs, she asked me to let Stacy know that she has become one of her role models. Now, on the one hand, I could say I'm reading that for the purposes of trying to lift Stacy up. And it does, and I'm grateful to do that. But my other reason for reading that is one of the comments that Stacy had made when we were there, and anyone who prays for anyone always kind of goes through this. And at one point, she had made the comment. She said, when I look at this team, I'm the most unqualified and inadequate of anybody on this team. And how many times we've heard Bishop Jones say, it's our disqualifications and our inadequacy that positions us perfectly for the Lord to use us. It's not our qualifications and it's not our adequacy. It's the exact opposite. And see, in the real world, we talk so much about how important we need to be qualified and adequate to do that task which is in front of us. But in the Lord using us, it's like the exact opposite. The more inadequate and disqualified we feel, we see ourselves, the more we are put in a position that the Lord can use us. And see, when I was watching what was happening in her life, where in some ways it's like Stacy kind of came into her own, it's like if he can do that for her, right? He can do that for all of us, right? He can do that for all of us. And One of the other things that happened there is we had these open-air meetings, and Father Mike and Father Tuck did most of them. Father Mike's a great teacher and a great preacher, and he was one of the ones that did most of the open-air meetings. I did one. But when I was sitting there, this has never happened to me before. During that time in Africa, I would be sitting there, and I would see how things were supposed to happen. And I can't describe how that worked, but it's just I would see how things were to happen. And it's like I would see it and I go, okay, that's what I need to do. And so when I knew that I would be the one doing the preaching for this open air thing, I knew, and I turned to Stacy, I said, I know that I'm supposed to take you up here and introduce you as my wife to everybody. And I said, I don't know why, but that's what I need to do. And I said, I think I'm going to call you up here in a moment. So I go up there on this kind of platform, and there's hundreds of people, and there's hundreds of children. And I was already introduced and said, I'm from Idaho, but I want to introduce my wife. And she got up and started walking up. And I'm not exaggerating, but the place went wild. I mean, absolutely wild. They started cheering and clapping. And I don't know if everybody stood up, but almost everybody that I could see stood up and they were cheering. And I'm thinking, okay, that's what I saw. And someone had said to me, well, maybe it's because women are not really put in a position of being exalted. I don't know. But all I know is that something happened at that moment to where there was this acknowledgement. It's almost like the Lord saying, see my daughter? One who sees herself as not really equipped. And just that acknowledgement and what the Lord wants to do. And I, for all of us, and I just think, young of that word that you just had. So Bishop Jones sent a word about during one of the days that there was going to be people who had healing issues were going to be healed. And she had this miraculous experience of the Lord using her to heal somebody who was deaf. Can you just say what that was real quick? And like I told you, she had no idea I was going to do any of this.
So we were out at one of the villages and had lines. And one of the first lady that I had prayed for was an older lady, and her daughter was there with her. But I had this translator who was just the most joyful young man there. You just felt happy when you were with him. And anyway, had prayed for this woman for hearing, and I was never sure what was happening, just because a lot of times with the translation you couldn't really, you were thinking that you were understanding what they were saying, but you know, there still is sometimes that barrier, and sometimes the people themselves are not, they didn't have a lot of expression, and so where you would think that they would jump up and down and be real excited if they were healed, there wasn't a lot of that. So I wasn't sure what was really going on. And in the Lord's mercy and goodness and graciousness and everything, my translator, after I had prayed for this woman, had gone behind her where she could not see him and talked to her and said, can you hear me? And her face just lit up. And then he went to the other, you know, to her other ear behind her and said something. And again, her face just lit up, and she started talking and answering him. And it was just that moment that I knew that she really could hear. So.
I know that in many ways, as I'm sharing this with you, that I'm talking to the choir. Because I know that there's many, many of you who have prayed with people and you've seen healings and you've seen breakthroughs and you've seen that and the Lord has used you. And I'm aware of that. But I also know how powerful the testimony is. You know, and how powerful it is to continue to hear over and over and over again about how the Lord works and how the Lord moves and how it is that we are to be involved in that. and how it is at times we need to take these particular agendas that we might have and just make a choice to lay them down and to say, you know, Lord, if you want to use me, then use me. Also, Lord, if there's someone who has a word or someone who can pray with me for bringing clarity or discernment or healing, I just pray that you bring that, however it is. And our expectation starts to go up as we see more and more of that at times becoming a reality in our midst. We begin to realize that God is very much for us in such a powerful way. Now, I could use this as a plug to continue to encourage any of you who pray or processing about, you know, could I ever go on one of those trips? It's like, why not? You know, why not? Does that mean you have to go to Africa and experience that? I'm not saying that either. But I am saying that God takes each of us where we are at, and He wants to explode something within us in such a way that we see ourselves in the light of His love for us and say, wow, man. Okay, Lord, I don't know for sure how you're going to use me, but this is out of my comfort level, and I just don't know. It was so interesting to do with her that I was watching Bishop Sakewa, and I couldn't see everybody, but I could see most, and he kept moving people from her line to other people's lines.
They didn't want to go,
because he kept saying it's like she was always the last one praying with people. And again, it's not just to focus so much just on my wife, and I love doing that, but it's recognizing that all of us have the opportunity of doing that, every single one of us, and to never take that lightly. As a dear friend, priest of mine once said, actually it was a sister, sorry, never play with grace. Just don't play with grace, the sacredness of the moment of being able to pray for someone or get a word. You know, last week, Father Terry had that tremendous word about he just had this sense that there was fear. There was a spirit of fear that literally needed to be bound and people needed to be released from. And I don't know how many people experienced that release, but it was very heartfelt. And I know that that was a word that the Lord had given to him. And as we continue to follow up on what it is the Lord wants to do in our midst, we don't want to miss those opportunities. So the second reading from Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. That last verse, now hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. And if you were to take and look at that passage and study it, you would realize that part of what the Holy Spirit does is He continues to assure us and assure us and assure us in many, many ways how much the Lord is madly, desperately in love with us. And as we somehow try to keep that in the very forefront of our mind and our consciousness, when we find ourselves going through, as it says in Psalm 23, that dark valley of the shadow of death, or whatever that place might be, is to realize that this is a passage that Paul had a revelation about the Lord is continuing to pour into our hearts His maddening love for us, and that assurance of that. And sometimes when we have those glimpses, whether it be at a word or a song or something happens and we be aware that the Lord is there, it's like that continually reminder. And so we pray to become more and more attuned to the many ways in which the Lord wants to say to each of us, you're my favorite. You are my favorite. You are my beloved. You are my favorite, my beloved. When you feel up here or when you feel down here, you are always, always my favorite, my beloved. And the love of God continually pouring into our hearts. In the Gospel, in John 16, 5 to 15, Jesus talks about how He's going to have to be going away soon. But then He says, my going away, your heart's going to be troubled, but it's going to be so much better for you. And see, there's something in our experience that says, but my opposite, I mean, it's like the opposite is what I think. It's sort of like when if you have to say goodbye to someone because they're going back home or you're not going to see them for a long period of time and they were to say to you, it's a lot better that I go now. and you're thinking, not for me, or not for us, I would much prefer that you stay. I don't really want you to go. I mean, if you're telling me that you have to go, but Jesus says, you don't understand this. If I go, it's going to be so much better for you. So, so much better for you. I've read a lot of books in my life, and you don't have to hold that against me. But there are a few books that have impacted my life tremendously. And I continue to go back to those books. And one of these books is a book you can't even order. You can only get it directly from the author. It's not for sale. It's the author's name is Dave Roberson. It's called The Walk of the Spirit, The Walk of Power. And this is the beginning of one of the chapters, chapter 7, praying out the mysteries of God's plan. What if you had a prayer partner, someone who was your friend, who was so knowledgeable of God that he never prayed amiss? What if he always knew the beginning from the end and knew God's will for you in every circumstance? What if this prayer partner spoke with such wisdom that he was always one step ahead of the devil and never prayed in unbelief because he knew the mind of God so thoroughly? What if he knew what God was called? What if he knew what God has called you to do in minute detail and never ever in the history of all creation had one of his prayers fail? Would you like someone like that praying for you? And if you had someone like that, how much would you let him pray for you? 3 minutes a day? Or as much as he wanted to? The whole book is about the Holy Spirit operating in our lives. And when we talk about that the Holy Spirit dwells within us, that we are temples of the Lord and the Holy Spirit dwells within, and this is not necessarily a time to talk about the efficacy of tongues. At some point, we need to continue to make sure that we can talk a little bit about that, the value and the importance of that. But just the whole notion of what it is about that we have this presence within us that is constantly interceding for you. Think about that. You know, for someone who comes up for prayer and to realize that the Holy Spirit who dwells is constantly interceding, constantly and knowing what is the next thing that needs to be done by in minute detail in the very circumstance you're finding yourself in right now. Or the very circumstance of someone that you love or care for is in right now. He already knows the beginning and the end and the middle, line upon line, precept upon precept, exactly what needs to occur. And he dwells within you. Constantly there. Constantly attentive. Constantly interceding, constantly pouring the love of God into your heart. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 6 through 7, it's that passage where Paul is talking to the Corinthians and he says, you know, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gives the increase. I want you just to think about that for a moment. He says that Paul planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. And see, in essence, what Paul is doing is saying, you know, it really isn't about me because I can teach and instruct. I can create conferences. I can create seminars. I can create classroom settings. I can come up with a tremendous outline step by step of giving you all it is that you will need to be able to grow in the spiritual life. But you know that unless the Lord gives the increase, nothing's going to happen with it. It's just going to be knowledge. Because unless the Lord gives the increase of all of this that we have received, it goes somewhere in one of those categories, you know, one of those files someplace that occasionally we can draw on and maybe talk about it in a very kind of erudite way. You know, we can speak about it as though we're very knowledgeable. But it doesn't come from a place that's real. It hasn't come from that place that we have experienced, that God gave the increase. And he gave the increase in such this magnificent way. Because if any of you, and I know that you have, But have any of you ever had the experience that you are reading something in the scriptures and it seems to jump out or stand out? And you might even say, I don't know if I've ever seen that before. You know, has that always been there? And to think that part of what the Lord is doing in that moment is speaking to you in such a profound way of bringing an increase. At that moment, he's taking something and it's like he takes the veil away. It's like he tears it from top to bottom and says, my beloved son, my beloved daughter, look. This is for you right here, right now, in this moment, today. Isn't that amazing? And he does it constantly. He's tearing the veil away constantly. Because maybe somebody planted and somebody watered, but he gives the increase. One of my favorite passages, and I have a lot of favorite passages, but one of my favorite passages in the scriptures is Acts chapter 16, verse 14. And it's where Paul is sitting down by the water, kind of taking a break. And here's the verse. Now a certain woman named Lydia heard us. So Luke is giving this narrative, okay, as to what happened. She was a seller of purple from the city of Thyatira who worshipped God. The Lord, so he's talking about Lydia, the Lord opened her heart to heed the things spoken by Paul. I love that verse. And one of the things I think about in my own life of loving that verse is I think, oh God, when I come to your scripture or when the day begins, please open my heart to hear what it is that you want me to hear. Oh Lord, open my heart to see what it is that you want me to see. Oh Lord, open my heart to understand what it is that you want me to understand. Because Paul was speaking, but Luke, who's the narrative there, sees that and says, but the Lord opened her heart to hear his word. If the Lord hadn't opened her heart, it would be like Paul saying, I planted, somebody else watered, but if God doesn't give the increase, if the Lord doesn't take away the veil, then it can just be words. Oh yeah, I've heard that before. Oh yeah, I'm familiar with that. But somehow it hasn't gone in. It hasn't connected. It's like that veil is still there. And to be able to say, oh God, make me in a position that maybe in every moment of my life, somehow I'm like Lydia sitting down by the water and you come to me and you open my heart to today to receive what it is that you want. Because he's constantly interceding for you. Constantly pouring love into your heart. Constantly. And he's a step ahead of everything that already lies before you. How can a man know his steps if the Lord has already ordained them? Meaning, the Lord already knows where you're going. And the last verse that I just wanted to target, it's also in Acts. It's Acts chapter 8, 26 to 40, and it's that wonderful narrative about Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. And you may be familiar with that passage about how the Holy Spirit tells Philip, go catch up with that chariot. So Philip runs up there, and this Ethiopian eunuch is reading from the book of the prophet Isaiah. And Philip asks him about what he's reading, and he says, do you understand what you're reading? And Philip says, there's no one to explain it to me. So Philip jumps in the carriage. Remember the archbishop talking about the sedan chair? Perfectly fitted. Perfectly fitted for the Lord and for you, for each of us. So Philip gets up into that in that chariot, like that sedan chair, and he begins to explain to this Ethiopian about who it is that Isaiah is talking about. And within a little while, the Ethiopian says, well, what's to stop me from being baptized, right? So they stop and goes down and baptize him, and all of a sudden, Philip disappears. And I can't help but think the Ethiopian is looking and going, where did he go? What was that about? It's like he's reading this from Isaiah. He's reading it, but he needed to have his heart opened up. It's like the veil needed to be torn open so he understood what he was seeing. It wasn't information, it was transformation. It was transformation. And remember that transformation always comes from the inside out because the Holy Spirit dwells within. It's never from the outside in. We sometimes hear it from the outside in, but the transformation takes place from the inside out. So, let me conclude with something, and I hope and I pray with all my heart that you hear this as an invitation and not anything else but an invitation. So let me say this again. Let me hope and pray that you hear this as an invitation and not anything else other than an invitation. So if I'm being a little dramatic and a little silly, let me say it one more time. Hear this as an invitation, not in anything else, not in any kind of accusation, but as an invitation. This is also from his book. It says, I once prayed for a little girl in a service who greatly needed a creative miracle, but didn't instantly receive it. I was bitterly disappointed knowing that God wanted to see that little girl whole. After the service, I went to my hotel room, perplexed and sad, asking God why no miracle had occurred. The Lord told me that he cared for both the little girl and for me. He said that until my character was further developed in him, he had to withhold the kind of power necessary to cause that kind of creative miracle. If I had received that level of his power at my level of spiritual maturity, it would have destroyed me. It's so important that we never, ever develop a theology for unanswered prayer. That we never look at someone and say, well, so-and-so was healed and so-and-so wasn't healed. I guess it was God's will that this person be healed, and I guess it was God's will that this person not be healed. Can you find that in the Scripture? If we are to stand on God's Word alone as our source of authority, it says, by His stripes we are healed. There's never an account that anyone who came to Jesus, He made sick. So all of a sudden we take a step back and go, oh my God, what if you were to put on my heart whatever it takes, whatever it costs, I right now give you everything. I surrender everything to you, no matter what it takes, no matter what it costs, to get me to that point, to so be used by you to set your people free. And that means I'm going to have to die. I'm really going to have to die. I'm going to have to die to pride. I may have to die to my fears. I may have to die to all these other kinds of things. But what if the Lord were to take an individual, and what if the Lord were to take a congregation that began to cry out, God, get me to that point that when I pray for someone, I see such breakthrough, and I realize, like Peter when he prayed for that guy, right, at the beautiful gate, I don't have any silver or gold. I don't have anything to give you, nothing, except Jesus. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, stand up and walk. And what happens if all of a sudden within us we say, is there still some place that you need to take me deeper, Lord? That all this stuff just begins to shed. And I can say, no matter what it takes, like these songs we are playing, I surrender all. Lord, I surrender everything so that I can fulfill the destiny that you created me for, whatever it be, whatever career, whatever vocation, in married life, single life, student life, whatever it is, to fulfill that completely and totally for how he would use you in places where you would feel so inadequate and so unqualified and to realize, oh my God, that's exactly what positioned me. It's amazing. And he's constantly pouring his love into us, constantly interceding for us and for everyone else that we come in contact with, for everybody. So I'd like to say this prayer again of protection. And I will do what I did last week as we take some time to pray with people. We'll make sure that my intent is to be out of here somewhere between 11:20 and 11:30. Okay? So I'm going to say this prayer of protection. I'm going to ask some of the priests, or all the priests that are here, to pray with people, to anoint people, anyone who wants healing for anything. If you're saying, I want more release of the Holy Spirit, I want a greater impartation, I need greater guidance or deliverance or whatever, direction in something, I want the Lord to bless whatever, if there's need for physical healing or emotional healing or spiritual healing. And I'd like Stacy to be up here praying with people. If you guys can pray. And I know that there's other people who pray, and I don't want to leave anybody out. So if there's any other prayer teams, I want you to be involved in doing that. And if you don't want to come to somebody to get prayer for, if you just want to pray with somebody there, but let's not miss the opportunity of continuing to receive what it is that the Lord wants, because the Lord is interceding for us right now. And he knows exactly the need that you or someone that you love has right now. He knows that. So let me say this prayer. And again, there are... by the way, last week when I did that prayer of salvation, and then I did that prayer for anyone who needed to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, nobody raised their hand for that prayer of salvation. But a couple people raised their hand in regards to that baptism of the Holy Spirit. So if there's any of you who are not sure about that, or you would like to have a greater release, or you're wanting the gift of tongues, if you don't have that, or you have curiosity about that, you know, I don't want to try to pressure anybody to do anything. But if that's something in your life that you have a desire for, that's great. But I'm not trying to push anything other than what you feel is on your heart and mind that you would want prayer for. And you may find, I don't know that I need prayer for anything. It may in fact be that you're just interceding, but just to do this for a little bit. You game? That was an overwhelming yes. So if you want to close your eyes, you can. If you don't want to, you don't have to. But there's several parts of this prayer that is repeated three times. So it's protection for us to make sure that to know what we are doing is to be clearly centered in the Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ and the power of his cross and his shed blood, we bind all spirits, all powers and forces of the earth, the underground, the air, the water, the netherworld, fire, and the satanic forces of nature. First prayer. In the name of Jesus, I break the power of any and all word curses, spells, hexes, or incantations ever spoken over you. In the name of Jesus, I break the power of any and all word curses, spells, hexes, or incantations ever spoken over you. In the name of Jesus, I break the power of any and all word curses, spells, hexes, or incantations ever spoken over you. Second prayer. In the name of Jesus, I break the power of any demonic seal ever placed over you. In the name of Jesus, I break the power of any demonic seal ever placed over you. In the name of Jesus, I break the power of any demonic seal ever placed over you. Third prayer. In the name of Jesus, I bind any and all spirits not of the Holy Spirit off of your spiritual, physical, and emotional person. In the name of Jesus, I bind any and all spirits, not of the Holy Spirit, off your spiritual, physical, and emotional person. In the name of Jesus, I bind any and all spirits, not of the Holy Spirit, off your spiritual, physical, and emotional person. Last prayer. With the sword of the Spirit, I sever any and all generational curses, even to 100 generations. With the sword of the Spirit, I sever any and all generational curses, even to 100 generations. With the sword of the Spirit, I sever any and all generational curses, even to 100 generations. The last prayer. I ask you now, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, that you would send your kingdom now in glory and power to heal everyone here that needs healing in body, soul, and spirit. And we thank you for what you have already done and what you are doing right now. May your kingdom come here on earth, even as it is in heaven. Amen. So if I could ask those priests to just kind of spread out and some of those...